thanks for joining us today. You know, we have a lot of people listening in who are elderly as well as young people. And this is why advance is good for everyone. Isn't that true, Class?
I think there are topics for everyone on this show.
And so today, as our panelists, we have Doris, that's me, and
Pauline, I'm happy to be here again.
And Josh, I'm very happy to be here today.
And Albert, good to see you guys again.
Albert, are you the youngest one in the class today?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? I think you are, maybe.
Okay, well, it's an honor to be here.
Or Pauline, are you the youngest one?
My guess should we reveal our ages online or on the radio? I don't mind. I'm 34.
Okay, so are you younger than that?
I am.
I thought so. And I'm the oldest one.
But thanks, Albert, for thinking that I was younger. I like that you were.
Don't talk about age, because everybody's always saying, oh, you're so this age. But, you know, age is really how you feel and your quality of life. And I think I still have a good quality of life. Do you think so?
Oh, my goodness. I think you have an amazing quality of life.
So we're going to talk about somebody who is even older than me. And I'm not going to say how old I am, because you already know. But this person is older than me, way older. He's 106 years old. Can you imagine?
I don't think I can even count that high. That is a huge number.
We know years ago when we read things like in the Bible and some of people in Methuselah, and all, they lived a long time, didn't they?
Yeah, they lived crazy long. In the Bible, it was
800 or 900 sometimes. I don't know.
Hundreds of years, yes.
Yeah, they lived a long time. You know, and, you know, we all think about there's eternity, which is forever and ever, and we're all going to live forever if we get a chance to, and that's good. But let's say our life on Earth, and 106 is pretty old for being on this Earth that long, isn't it?
Especially if he has a good quality of life.
That's right. Right. So our lesson then today is on page 15. It's the second in our series of living life well. We talked about saving a life yesterday if somebody chokes, but we're through with that article. Now we're going to talk about the secret to longevity. This sounds like a very good subject.
It sure does. Let's look at the first paragraph, shall we?
Okay. What does it say in the first paragraph?
Just days shy of his 106th birthday, Lou Sohn says the most important thing in life is happiness. Sohn said, smiling ear to ear in his home, "There are times I fear my age, and there are times when I can't believe I'm this old, but I'm enjoying life."
Now that is a very happy, optimistic opening, isn't it, Joshua?
It is a very happy, optimistic opening. And I think for a lot of people, they struggle to be happy no matter what age they are. But it's really inspiring to hear someone who's lived for so long to be able to be like, yes, happiness is something that I can really enjoy still at my age.
Right, and I really like this smiling ear to ear. He just has such a great positive outlook on life.
And he says the most important thing is not how much money you have or how big your house is or anything. What is the most important thing?
He says it's happiness, and I think I have to agree. You may have, like you said, Doris, a big house or tons of money, but that doesn't necessarily mean that in the end, especially towards the end of your life, that you're going to be happy. So finding happiness is a pretty huge thing in life, and it sounds like he's got it down. I also really like that he admits that there's some fear in his age. He's not sugarcoating it or pretending that there's no moments of fear, but obviously that fear isn't dominating his feelings about his life. He seems to have found a way to be honest about fears and struggles, but overall still able to keep a positive, happy outlook towards the life he's been given.
And the word happiness is an H word, you know. And another word that goes along with that, I think, is health. Mm. Health is another H word. Health and happiness. Because if you have your health, it's easier to be happy. It's kind of hard to be happy if you're sick or you're in the hospital or something like that. So don't you think that health and happiness go together?
Very much so. And some people, I think, would even suggest that they're very much intimately connected. So if you're happy it helps you have good health. Mm-hmm. And if you're healthy, it helps you be happy.
But, you know, I think all of us, it says, well, I can't believe I'm this old. And when you're younger, you always want to be older, and you want to be like your brothers or sisters or so forth. And when you get older, you want to be younger because you think, oh, my goodness, I can't believe I'm this old. But people say that when they're 30, when they're 40, when they're 50, when they're 60. I can't believe I'm this old. So just forget it, how old you are, and be happy.
That's a really interesting dynamic that you brought up, Doris. I remember, yeah, like being a kid, it's like, oh, I can't wait till I can get my driver's license. I can't wait to graduate. And now it's more like, oh, I wish I could go back to high school.
Right. No, I don't want to be 30. I don't want to be 40. But, you know, forget about the age you are. Think about the kind of life you live. That's what we want to learn today, don't we? And so when he's doing a lot of things that you were very surprised at, read the next paragraph.
I found this pretty surprising, too. So, when Son is not on Facebook, cooking his own meals, or solving puzzles in the newspaper, he is sharing his tips for living a long life. His number one tip, make people smile. You've got to smile more, Son said. You'll be happier. You'll live longer. Son said he loves meeting new people. He can strike up a conversation with just about anybody. And his favorite game is making people guess his age.
Now, doesn't he sound like an interesting man to know? And, you know, people usually say, do I have to go and see that old person? But not him, because he's interesting, isn't he? Wouldn't you like to talk to him, too?
Actually, that's exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking, I would love to meet this guy. He sounds like just so much fun. I think you couldn't help but smile around somebody like that.
And he can share a lot of things that happened and everything. You know, when back to when he was born, it was a long time ago, and he's learned a lot of things since then. But he still cooks his own meals, and he does puzzles, and he shares his tips for living a long life. See, what was his number one tip?
Well, his number one tip was to make people smile.
Right.
And I have to admit, the idea of him being on Facebook makes me smile. It makes me want to send him a friend request.
Right, that's right.
It makes me jealous. He probably has the most friends on Facebook.
Probably than anybody, that's right. Yeah, and he also, you know, he likes to share things with people and make them happy. That means he talks about things that are not how bad the world is, but how great life is. So he looks at the positive side of life, doesn't he?
Yes, it seems like a really positive person to be around. I also thought it was interesting that they mentioned that he solves puzzles in a newspaper. I have read in the past that doing crossword puzzles or different kinds of word or logic puzzles like that can help as we age to keep our minds sharp and to prevent diseases like Alzheimer's. And I'd have to say, reading this article, it seems like that's working for Lou Son.
Well, I like to do all those myself, but not because I think it's going to keep you from getting Alzheimer's. I think it's because it's fun. But then when people say, oh, you're doing puzzles, and you say, yes, it keeps me young.
There you go.
That's a good excuse, right? But it's just fun to do puzzles, isn't it?
I love doing puzzles.
There's so many you can do.
And it keeps you happy.
Yeah, that's
right?
True. Especially when you win. But, you know, he says that way that you meet new people and he can strike up a conversation. That expression, just strike up a conversation, is a very common phrase that we use.
It is. We use strike sometimes when you're referring to strike a match. It means to light a match. In this case, you're starting, instead of starting fire, you're starting a conversation. So you strike up a conversation. You're the one to begin it, to get it going.
Right. When you see people, sometimes people don't want to talk to somebody they don't know, but he'll come and say, well, hello, how are you today? He will be the one to start the conversation. So let's strike up a conversation with somebody. Let's start talking to somebody. And a lot of people don't do that, but he likes to meet new people. By his age, you think, well, he knows enough people he doesn't want to meet anymore. But he does. He likes to meet. He probably want to meet some of our studio classroom friends. What do you think?
I would sure like to meet him.
Wouldn't that be fun? Yeah. And what is his favorite game that he likes to do?
His favorite game is to make people guess his age, which is totally unfair, because I feel like we have the stereotype of, like, people petering out or stopping around, like, 80 years old. But he's going beyond that.
Right. Well, and you know, it's kind of fun if you ask people to guess your age, and if you're 80 and they say you look 60, oh, that makes you happy. You know? So always guess people's age a little younger. It makes them happier.
Just like Albert thought I was younger than him.
Yeah,
I was delighted.
That makes you happy.
That makes me happy.
Right. And so don't guess older, guess younger. But then the next part of it here, it says, how old are you really? And that's interesting. Would you read that section?
Sure. So it says, nobody even guesses past the 70s. Someone's companion of 3 years, Noreen Katz, 63, said, it's crazy. When Katz first met Sohn, he was 103, sitting at his home computer desk on Facebook. What I'm amazed about, really, is the easy transition he's made from century to century, she said. Being born in 1910 with horses and wagons to cars, and now he's on Facebook and very into technology.
Now, there's a good lesson for everybody to learn there. You know, when I first came out to Asia, they didn't have television yet. And now I have to produce television programs. What if I'd said, I don't want to learn television? Or they didn't have computers, and now they have them. So as you get older, you have to keep up with technology, and don't say, I'm too old for that. When I first started to use computers, many teachers in Asia did not use them. And I said, look, I'm older than you, and I do it, and you can do it. So we have to keep learning new things. And that's what he did. You know, he transitioned. Because you have to keep up. Don't wait and all of a sudden you have to get 50 years to learn. You have to do it as it goes along. Don't you think you need to keep learning new things all the time?
Absolutely. I think this is an inspiration. It's a reminder to me, even as I'm learning Mandarin, and that can be, you know, difficult. It's not a technology, but it's still a new skill that takes energy.
You have to learn it, right.
And, you know, I'm older now than the last time that I learned a language, so it seems a little harder. And to have this example of people all the way up into 106 years old still willing to learn new things and push themselves, I think that's a great example.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes in life the biggest challenge is ourselves. We have this mental wall that we always encounter. It's like, oh, I can't do it. I'm not good enough for it. I'm not pretty enough for it or whatnot. It just goes on and on. But if you can overcome that, you can really be amazed by what you're equipped with and what you can do.
Well, and you know, things seem to have picked up a faster pace. When I think of my grandparents and people that would be more into this, like, when they first were born, I don't think they even had airplanes. You know, and they never thought that the people would be up in the sky riding that. So you say, I'm never going to ride an airplane. No, they had to learn one thing after another, and cars. But nowadays, things are going so fast that we have virtual reality and we have all this kind of thing. There's not just cell phones, but we have mobile websites. There's so many things to learn. And things seem to be speed up, robots, oh, so many different things. So you have to keep up, don't you think so?
I do. I very much think so. And so this is an inspiration to me. I hope that I can stay healthy and happy enough to live to be over 100 myself. But I couldn't even imagine if things keep going the way they were. So going from, you know, riding around on horses to flying through the air to virtual reality, couldn't even imagine what things might be, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now.
But one thing I think is important when people like this are older, whether they're 106 or 80s or 90s or whatever, you know, I remember I would ask my grandma and my grandpa things, and don't neglect the older people. Find out what it was like when they lived and write it down, because, you know, that's something we need in our history, don't you think?
Oh, I agree so much. I read once that when a person dies, it's like having an entire library burned down.
Right.
And I think that's such a beautiful way of thinking about, especially elderly people in our lives, that they are a whole library of living history. They have the memories that can bring history into a more personal story life. And we need to take advantage of that while they're still here, before that library has burned down and it's gone forever.
That's true. You know, we need to find out more. I know when I asked my grandparents, I know that my grandfather saw his mother killed by the Indians.
Oh,
so
wow.
That was a long time ago.
Wow.
But, you know, we have to write that down because we forget. You know, we think about stories we read in books, but they're in our families. And we need to ask our grandparents while they're alive about those things.
Yeah, it only seems like, you know, as the recent generations, we're elders and senior citizens are put on the back burner, in a sense, where they're second-class citizens.
Just them, right.
Yeah, yeah, like, you know, I'm reading about how, like, states are saying, like, oh, we should revoke driver license of senior citizens, which is totally unfair. If you just go back a few, like, century or so, you know, elders in society, like ancient Rome and stuff like that, they were honored, they were respected, they were consulted, they were kept around in important
advice, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. So it's very important for us to realize that they've lived all those years, they've gone through things, and we can learn from those who've gone before us, can't we?
There is a pillar to the American United States government in the Supreme Court. Most of the Supreme Court justices serve well until their later years of life, and we depend on them for that self-same wisdom and perspective to keep sort of everything reined in a little bit so that things don't get a little bit too crazy and we still have a good rule of law.
That's true. So I think this article is good because he shares his secret to a long life. But not only his secret, that let's remember that we can still learn from all these people when we have family gatherings and ask them to write down things that happen, and it will be very good to pass on to your children, don't you think, and the grandchildren, and in the history books even.
Right, definitely. And what I really like about in this paragraph is he has a companion, a 63-year-old. That's awesome.
I'm really glad you pointed that out. I didn't know if our second language readers will catch this because it's just a little bit of a, you know, they don't say girlfriend or partner, they say companion. So there's maybe this thought that maybe this is a girlfriend, or maybe it's just a good friend.
Yeah,
but
they
kind of leave it open for some interpretation, but right. I like that word that you used.
Well, but they, you know, it's very good to know that when people transition, that we need to keep up, and you can't say, well, I'm too old. No, I'm 80, I'm 90, I don't want to learn that. As long as we live, we have to keep learning. We are students for life. Isn't that right?
Exactly.
Always keep open to learn. Don't say, I don't want to learn anymore, I've learned enough. Then you probably will have a very boring life, and you won't be happy. So to be happy, you have to keep up, and you have to make people smile. So that means that you talk about things that make people happy instead of, oh, how terrible the world is, it's bad, and pretty soon everybody feels bad. But he tries to make people happy. And I think that's a good goal, isn't it?
I think it sure is, and I'm sure it's one of the secrets for his continuing to go strong.
Well, it says that he's still going strong. Who would like to read that?
I would love to. His doctor, Dr. Stuart Hemelstein, says Song is his oldest patient, but he's functioning at the level of someone 15 years his junior. I think he's doing pretty well, Hemelstein said. He has very good memories and very good memory of recent events. For his age, I think it's great. He has a little bit of decreased hearing, but for 106, his hearing is good. Hemelstein said everyone ages differently, and in Song's case, he has both quality and quantity of life. He's usually upbeat, Hemelstein said. He's lived through the age where he's now watching his children suffer through old age. His daughter died of cancer in 2014, and his sons are both battling serious illnesses. Still, Song keeps a positive outlook on life. I take it one year at a time, he said.
So that's his philosophy, taking it one day at a time and one year at a time. And it says that his doctor says that that's his oldest patient. Well, you can imagine if he has a patient that's about 106 years old, that probably is his oldest one.
Yeah, that didn't surprise me at all.
No. But he was functioning at somebody, the level of somebody 15 years his junior. Now, I have found that some people act old when they're 30s and some when they're 50s and some don't ever act old. So I think people say that I'll never grow up, so that's why I won't act old. But, you know, you need to enjoy life, and you don't have to be old at any certain age. Old just means you're getting older, but I think we need to keep up our enthusiasm for life, don't we?
Oh, that's a great word, enthusiasm. I think energy, enthusiasm, and optimism, those are the things that really define youthfulness to me. And being old really has a lot more to do, like you said, with more of a maybe depressed, lack of energy. Those things really call out oldness versus youngness than the actual number of years you have on Earth.
It says there in line 27 that he has good memories and a good memory. Now, there's a difference in memories and having a good memory.
Well, memories are the things that you remember. So having good memories means that over the course of his life, he has good things that's happened to him, and so he has good memories.
Even when he was a little boy.
Even when he was a little boy, he has very good memories of that time. But then having a good memory is your ability to remember your memories, right?
So in this part, what happened yesterday, even, that's kind
exactly,
of a memory.
Right?
I forget what happened yesterday. Then you're kind of losing your daily memory, right?
Right.
So he does remember good recent events, what happened last week and so forth. So he's doing pretty well, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think that's why Hammelstein, his doctor, says he has both quality and quantity of life. Obviously, 106 years, that's a large quantity, a lot of years of life. But then this quality piece, we're seeing both psychologically, you know, his outlook on life is positive and upbeat, and physically, he has a good quality of life. He's pretty healthy.
Well, it says that he's usually upbeat. Upbeat, there's little quotations around that word. It just means to be, he's usually optimistic, isn't that right?
Yeah, definitely. Another way we use upbeat is sometimes in music. We change the tempo of something. But in here, in this context, we're talking about how optimistic he is.
Upbeat, right.
Yeah.
It's fast beat, not slow beat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And optimistic is better than being pessimistic. Huh?
Right.
And so if you keep optimistic about things, then you will be upbeat, and you will not be slowed down, slow beat, right?
Yeah, and I thought this was interesting here. It takes a little bit of a sad turn, as this article tells us, that he has suffered some things where he's watched his children now going through old age, and they're not having maybe as much health as he had. So his daughter died of cancer, and his sons are battling serious illness. And I think it's a good reminder that just because somebody's happy and upbeat doesn't mean that they've never had anything bad happen to them.
No.
And it's a good reminder that we can find the good even in the midst of a life that has some hard things going on. It's not just that this guy got so lucky that nothing bad ever happened to him, so he got to be happy all of these years.
That's
he somehow
true.
Found a way to move through hardships in life in a way that still maintains his sense of joy and upbeatness towards
That's
life.
True. And you never know who's going to go first. You see an older person and you say, well, they'll probably go before you do, but who knows? We don't know for sure.
Right.
In fact, we don't go in the order that we're born,
right,
because my two younger brothers are already in heaven, so they should go after. I should go first in that. But, you know, we don't go in order of when we're born.
Right.
That. But the point is that we have to keep optimistic and positive, because it keeps a positive outlook on life. Now, that's also the same as being optimistic or pessimistic. What's the opposite of a positive outlook?
A negative outlook.
Negative, right.
Right.
People who are negative are not nice to be around, no matter how old they are. Right? People do not like to be around negative people, so keep a positive outlook. Is that easy to do nowadays? There's all kinds of wars and earthquakes and diseases, and oh my goodness, what a terrible place. We could be very, very negative, couldn't we?
We sure could be, but it's all a matter of perspective, right? Deciding, are we going to focus on the things that are going wrong or all the good things that are happening in life?
Well, what are some of the positive things we could think about? We could say that actually every day we need to cherish the fact that we're alive, that we can do things, and that we can eat and have a good time, and just be happy for little things, don't you think?
Oh, I think that's a big part of it, is learning how to derive joy out of all the small daily things in life that it's easy to take for granted, but really are huge blessings. So the fact that we have three meals a day, that we have family or a place to go to work, there's so many things that you can take for granted that really we should be spending a lot of time being grateful for. And if we can spend more time being grateful for what we have instead of what we don't have, I think that puts us on the path towards
and
more
don't worry.
Positive.
If we worry about what's going to happen next year and I won't have enough money when I retire, and the more you worry about things, then the more uninteresting and very negative your life will be.
And I think in this case, it's also very inspiring to find someone who's 106 years old And really, one of the things that he finds very important is not making himself smile, but making other people smile.
Right.
Right. And really getting a blessing and an enjoyment and a happiness out of spreading joy and happiness to other people. I think that's very inspiring.
I think that's the secret, isn't it?
Right.
To live for other people, to make a difference in the world. And he's still making a difference. And he's positive, even though things have happened that are bad. He'll say, well, I'm thankful for the good things. So let's be thankful for those today. And remember that a positive attitude always helps us. And it's our own decision sometimes. We can decide ourselves which way we're going to be.
Right. I feel like, you know, today he's lived to 106, but it feels like the quality of his life is so great that he's actually probably lived beyond that. It's like he's experienced like two lifetimes or three lifetimes of happiness and quality.
And I hope when this man passes on, he just goes to sleep and goes, because that would be the best way to go instead of being in a hospital. And, you know, a nice long life can be good life if you make it good. So whatever you do today, no matter how old you are, remember to make people smile and to be positive, right?
Exactly.
Have a good quality of our life and serve others and help other people, and then we will enjoy. So that's the second day of our living life well. And there's some practical things we have to learn that we'll talk about tomorrow to make ends meet and so forth. But always keep positive, okay? Say that to each other. Keep positive.
Keep positive.
See you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.